103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Brian, Peter, David, Bell, and whoever else joins us this week. It's a cast that's just open to whoever wants to come along and garden with us here on the radio. Brought to you in association with greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet, greensacks.ie. This week, well, we have to get back to Cork, as we promised. So let's get straight there. And we abruptly left Bell in the vegetable patch, and we're going back to see how it is progressing.
Onto the next bed then is the original rocket and mizuna and mustard that I planted weeks and weeks and weeks ago. And they've all gone to flower, and so now I'm just kind of picking off the leaves rather than chopping them because the stems are quite woody. In this bed as well, oh, we were given some chard, so we popped that in here because there is a bit of space. And there's carrots, and I'm a bit of a terror for the carrots because I don't like to thin them. And in my defence, there is only about 6 carrots because the dog got in and thought it would be fun to mix up all the seeds. So I'm just waiting to see how they do. And also, they just look really nice. I like the leaves. And there's beetroot as well, and a stray lettuce, which we had for dinner the other night, which is lovely. We just cut that, and it's growing back leaves already for next week. The purple sprouting broccoli, I think, has disappeared. Oh, hang on, that looks like a brassicae type leaf. So we'll have to see. Just keep that bed empty. The strawberries, I'm not sure we're going to get any crop, really. I think the birds have actually come down and had a good munch off them, which is fine because they were very small plants anyway. Oh, another exciting thing. The peas have come up. There's a couple of dead spaces, but generally they're all coming up, and I think we planted about anywhere between 40 and 50 plants. We really like peas in this house. Our rhubarb is a bit weird. It's just one tiny stalk and it's not doing anything. I think too many slugs and bits got to it, and then we moved it, and there's next year. Another exciting thing is the tomatoes. They're about to flower. There's a couple of bigger plants are about to flower. There's two different types, tomato hillbilly, I think, and quite possibly a chocolate striper. I can't quite remember. In between the tomatoes is the basil. So apparently that's supposed to stop certain pests getting to the tomatoes. They're actually doing really well. I must pull out the frame a bit more because they're kind of growing into it. Other than that, we found some mystery seeds, planted them, and it turns out they're more rocket. And the most exciting thing is that we got a wormery. I already have 2 compost bins, and one is ready to be poked around in and quite possibly used for the potatoes. And the other one is just mostly full of carbon because of the rabbit and newspaper and shavings. So we got a wormery, and I'm actually going to wait another week or so and see how it goes and tell you all about it. It's quite weird, but it's also quite fun. So that's everything from me this week. And if you want to check out any photos on my blog, Peter will give you the address. Thank you.
Yes, Belle. Peter told me about the blog. Belle is at Limster, L-I-M-M-S-T-E-R, on Twitter. And the blog is limster.com, where if you've tuned in last week and you've heard about the garden this week and you can't picture it, if it sounds a little bit crazy, well, that's because it is. But check out the photographs of the garden on limster.com. It's wonderful. And that thought of watching a lettuce grow and having eaten half of it last week and watching it grow and thinking of it being in a future salad, it's going to sound strange on a gardening show, but people know where I come from on this kind of stuff. It's alien to me, that's all I can say. But very interesting to hear described. Absolutely wonderful. Coming up on the Sod Show today, we have an interview which was recorded down in Bloom, and Peter will be talking to Una Fitzgibbon, Origin Green, that's coming up after our Song of the Week. We'll also be hearing from David Corscadden and some things you can get up to towards the end of your week if you've got any free time. And right now, I've been playing the Song of the Week and I've been getting back to my roots and to the early 80s and some music, and it's not for reasons of era or genre that I pick the next song. The song is self-explanatory. Do enjoy.
Free Nelson Mandela. Free. 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 Free Nelson Mandela.
On 3.2 Dublin City FM, The Sod Show, the special aka Free Nelson Mandela from 1984. When I started on the radio, Nelson Mandela was still in prison. The world's media are paying great attention to South Africa this week and this day. Peter, we must actually have Peter Donegan on The Sod Show to talk to us about his times that he has been gardening in South Africa and some of the wonderful work that his gardening buddies have done down there. Speaking of Peter, let's go back to Bloom and some interviews that Peter got in the park.
103.2 Dublin City FM and Ireland's best podcast for 2012. Didn't you know we are that amazing? In my company is Una Fitzgibbon. Una, are you employed by Bord Bia?
I am, yeah. I work as a marketing director with Bord Bia.
One of the big things, it's on your Gyanzi or your jacket as I'm looking at it now, is a beautiful logo saying Origin Green. I've passed by it. I've heard about it. For those who don't know what Origin Green is, obviously it's a Bord Bia initiative. Can you explain it to me like I am literally a two-year-old child?
Origin Green is a sustainability development program for the Irish food and drink industry. And basically what it means is the food and drink industry is committing to becoming more and more sustainable, reducing the energy it consumes, managing the waste as a byproduct of its production, looking at biodiversity, ensuring that it cares for the environment, but also that it looks after people and communities and the nutrition and health of individuals.
We had a Country Crest on the radio show some time ago. They're up in North County Dublin, not too far away from where I am. They did refer to the fact that they had brought in some land or kept some land to one side for, inverted commas, biodiversity, which in short, we've covered it before in the show, but just as a quick refresher, it is by definition.
Biodiversity is all about the number of species that are out there in our environment, and the general view would be that a healthy environment is one that is diverse in the number of species that exist in it, in terms of an ecosystem that is reliant on multiple diversities of species, being a safer and more secure system than one that relies on a tiny number of species. An example clearly is the famine and our over-reliance on one potato. While not in wildlife, it's just an example how over-reliance on any one species can be a dangerous thing or a not a good thing, if you like.
We'd used the example before of Temple Bar with three pigeons in it as not being very biodiverse, where a ditch or hedgerow opposite my house was quite biodiverse. Is that fair as a contrast?
That is a very fair contrast, absolutely. Be sure you're spot on. But it is what's very interesting about, say, Country Crest as an example of a company there that you've given. Country Crest is a verified member, fully verified member of Origin Green. And what that means is they have a sustainability plan for their business that aligns with the Origin Green Sustainability Charter. Their plan has been fully verified by an independent verification company, and they're on target to become more and more sustainable in how they produce their food. And what we're finding is that the international trade or customers out there, particularly the bigger global customers, are really keen to align themselves with a supply base that is more sustainable. So, for instance, 50% of key customers around the world are going to be making decisions on who they supply food from based on their carbon emission, as one example. And we know that. So that this is the direction and this is the future for Irish food and drink. But equally, we're finding that our verified members are securing more business on the back of their Origin Green plans.
But I'm looking at the Country Crest example, and you know, don't get me wrong, I know they have that big, huge whopper of a wind turbine, which I believe, I'm not too sure, as per our last interview, I'll have to check this one out, but is it approximately 65, let's say 85% of their own electricity is generated by their own wind turbine? I mean, a lot of people are listening to this and saying, well, I'm a small producer of, be it salmon or cheese or plants or trees or landscaping, and how am I supposed to compete with this? Is it a little bit, well, you don't need a wind turbine, you don't need $1 billion, it's kind of, you know, there may be case examples that one could use. Is there a smaller example of Origin Green that is trying to get onto this ladder?
There are a large number of smaller companies who have registered for Origin Green and who are partnering with the EPA and their Green Business Initiative, which allows for a consultant to go in and give them a free assessment on ideas for how they can become more sustainable than they actually are.
EPA, sorry, just to backtrack for those who don't know who they are.
The Environmental Protection Agency. But what's really interesting is that there are very small things that companies can do to become more sustainable. And the whole idea of the charter is that you develop a plan that's appropriate to the scale or the size of your business. So your environmental impact as a smaller company may not be as great as the environmental impact of a larger company, but there are still things that you can do to become more sustainable. And in fact, when you do them, you become more efficient and perhaps reduce your costs and become a bit more profitable and sustainable as a business yourself as well.
for mom and dad or Mary and Jim, they're listening to this, they're down in, I don't know, pick a county. What's your last place you went on holidays in Ireland?
Oh, Westmeath.
Okay, so they're down in West, and we get a laugh out of that one. But they're in Westmeath. They have the stereotypical, pardon me if you actually resemble what I'm about to say, but it's just to paint a very unusual Irish stereotypical picture, which is a small farmhouse. They've got 32 hens. They're selling them at the gate, and they're saying, look, Jim, pardon the cliched pun, but I'd like to take a leaf out of what the big boys are doing here. There's something in there that I like the sound of, that is feel good, that is homely, that my daughter will be able to pick up on. We're not a bazillion dollar industry, but, you know, we can do a little bit of this, you know, a la, you know, burning salmon down in County Clare.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I would say that the smaller people have a lot to contribute in terms of the social fabric of what they do, their contribution to holding rural communities together, as well as their contribution to biodiversity and to health via nutrition and the provision of fresh food locally. So you might find that they're doing more under those dimensions of sustainability than they are under others. But it's all about balance. It's all about a holistic approach. And what we want is a balanced ecosystem of food businesses that are more sustainable across the board, because that can do our reputation internationally unbounded things in terms of our commitment to sustainability. I mean, we're the first country in the world to develop an initiative like this, and it links in with our quality assurance scheme, which is building in environmental measures around carbon measurement and so on. And eventually the two may align over time, and when they do, we will be the most comprehensive food and drink system that is, if you like, measuring its own performance and improving on its own performance when it comes to sustainability. And that is a positive thing and a good thing to do.
Give me a couple of, this is quick fire pop quiz round, biggest in the drinks industry, the booze industry, as some may call it, would that be Jameson? Is that a fair one?
Yes, and Irish Distillers are a signed up member of Origin Green, a verified member of Origin Green, and they are committed to sustainability, and their new plant would have a significant amount of environmental or sustainability investments to improve on their performance in that area. And what Origin Green allows them to do is to bring together under one plan and articulate clearly what their sustainability initiatives are, and it allows us to together to measure their performance in that way. Because eventually what Origin Green will do when there's a larger number of companies verified through the system is we will start to report to the world on our overall environmental performance. So we'll be able to say that the entire industry or sectors of the industry are reducing their energy by X percent, are increasing biodiversity by X percent and so on. That's the idea, that we will be able to send out a national report for our reputation, which is not just about our green image anymore, but it's also about the evidence and data behind the green performance of what green actually means.
You're very good at this, man almighty. Don't walk away from me here, because I've got Brian in my other ear at home. Back in studio, sorry, not in my home, Brian, you're not there. And Brian is kind of saying to me, yeah, look, Jameson glass, no ice, please. What on God's earth has this got to do with Port Bia, and why? Because, you know, but it tastes delightful, and thanks very much, Irish Distillers, you know, well done. But where does this come in? Because when we think of Port Bia, we think, you know, grass, horticulture, food, farming. There's been some bad press for Irish agriculture over the last, let's say, 16, 18 months. There's been some international bad press for food, irrespective of whether it's Ireland or not. And somewhere in between all of that, you know, credit where it's due, Bord Bia has done an absolute sterling job. And I mean, when we go back to the BSE crisis when I was in college, you know, that's something like 20 years ago. And still, I think we were one of the first. And you know, no offence to our UK counterparts, but again, they were lagging behind by, I mean, months, and I mean plural, long amount of time, and we had it sorted pretty damn quick, if that's fair to say.
Yeah. I mean, Bord Bia in many ways is all about farming and growing and horticulture and food. And our quality assurance scheme extends across the primary produce, as you know, on farm as well as going into processors. And that's extending into environmental assurance now with the measurement of carbon, for instance, on beef farms, measurement of water footprint, measurement of biodiversity. But we're extending that into the dairy sector over time, to dairy farms. We're extending it into poultry and pig meat currently on farm level. And we will also be very interested in looking at and exploring the idea of grain. And once we have that established in our grain system, then we have the entire farming base, if you like, supplying into the processors, but including that beautiful glass of Jameson on ice, the grain that makes the whiskey. So the idea is that we develop the sustainable system, and it's a long-term plan. This is a long-term project. It's going to take a good few years to get it going, to build it and so on. But when we do, it's going to be very powerful, because consumers at the moment may not be thinking that much in terms of the ecological reasons of why they buy something, but in the future they will. And it's being driven by the trade currently, but it will move into the consumer area over a period of time. And when it does, we'd like to be a step ahead. And it's nice to think that you could buy a glass of whiskey that tastes great, but also comes from a sustainable system in terms of production and a sustainable environment, I think. And that's going to be something that will help Jameson and other whiskies in the future.
Just to put it into perspective here, and we did touch on it, there has been the agricultural, you might say, bad press. We've also had things like the ash dieback, which possibly falls into the Chagas category of things. They're the Education Research Authority for Ireland, for those listening in podcast outside of Ireland. In between all of this, you have some wonderful success stories. I was talking to Birgitta Curtin of Burn Salmon. She was telling me she was across in the United States for 6 days prior to coming to Bloom 2013. Some years ago over in South Africa, I got off a plane and I walk in and wall to floor, ceiling to floor is draped Jameson Irish whiskey, and I'm going, oh my god, like, this is phenomenal. And at the same token, I come out of the media tent and I've got Pat Fitzgerald's Primula range of plants, and they're being exported literally all over the world. I mean, are we that damn good at what we do? Are we the Tom Jones of Las Vegas? I mean, are we just too sexy for it? I mean, is that what it comes down to? Because by the sounds of things, without, you know, blown our own trumpet, we kind of are, when I think about it a little bit.
Well, when I think back to the development of Origin Green, and it's taken us 2 years to get to where we are now, between research, launching it to industry, designing the charter, getting companies together, going through workshops, getting plans in, doing all the communications. You know, it's a long process. But when I go back to the research that we did in the very beginning, and we did consumer and trade research, and the really interesting thing that research told us is that we have either an awareness or a potential awareness. Because remember, not everybody is aware of Ireland. If you go to China, they may not necessarily have heard of Ireland. They might have heard of Riverdance, but they haven't heard of Ireland necessarily, depending where you go. So
just to clarify, that is actual market research.
Yeah, this is consumer research that we carried out globally. And what was really interesting about that research was that it kind of said, you know, Ireland doesn't really have a cuisine, okay? We're not renowned for a particular kind of cuisine, unlike, say, France or Italy. And this is something that the Nordic countries would be similar. They're not renowned for a cuisine. Britain wouldn't be renowned for a cuisine, but France, Italy, and other countries are. But we showed pictures to consumers, and we said, and it was a variety of different kinds of cuisines. We showed them Italian, French, American, Japanese sushi. Showed them these different photographs, and we said, if Ireland had a cuisine, which of these photographs would most closely represent that cuisine? And they all pointed to sushi. And when we asked them why, they said, because your ingredients are so untainted and so pure that I could eat them raw.
Whew. Wow. I tell you something, if Ireland was a woman, I'd run off with her right now. God almighty. That is one serious fine compliment to get.
It sure is. And that's the point at which we said we don't abandon our cuisine. We don't say, you know, we're going to abandon promoting our cuisine. But we do say we have to focus on our strengths here. So we had this reputation for incredibly pure ingredients. We're renowned in terms of this green image. So why don't we build on that instead of trying to push an elephant up the stairs by building a cuisine from zero? Let's take what we're good at. And that's, at the same time, there was this other opportunity at a trade level where the trade were beginning to say we need environmental evidence from suppliers. So we married the green image, the untainted ingredients, with this environmental performance piece. And that's how we created Origin Green. And the response has been positive, very positive. But it is a long-term project, but we're going to get there.
Una Fitzgibbon of Bord Bia and Origin Green, thank you so much for your time. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Okay, thank you, Peter.
And if you want to find out more, if you go to Origin, as it sounds, Green, GREEN.ie, that's Origin, GREEN.ie, to find out more. Jeepers, wow, almighty. Brian, back to you in studio, my good man.
I'm not in the studio, Peter. I'm in your house and you have no Jemison left. I mentioned South Africa. You mentioned South Africa. It's just telepathy on the radio show this week. Let's quickly go to David Corscadden because he's got some events for us.
Hey, everyone. While I find myself this weekend up to my eyeballs with weeds and trying to tame a very wild, neglected garden, if you have some free time this weekend, make sure to head along to Garden World Kilcade in County Wicklow for their garden party, which is in aid of Down Syndrome Ireland and the Laura Lynn Hospice for Children. And the garden party is being organised to raise much needed funds for these two charities, and it's a proper event for both foodies and gardeners. Throughout the day there will be garden demonstrations and talks by the likes of the lovely Jerry Daly, and there'll also be some great cookery demonstrations, and of course, what would a garden party be without food? So there'll be a brilliant barbecue and also an ice cream party for the kids. So entry into the event is €5 for adults and only €2 for children. So make sure to head along and support the very deserving cause, and make sure to let us know how you get on if you head along to it. Until next time, guys.
Thanks, David. Just enough time to thank Belle, Peter, David, the engineers at Dublin City FM. Nobody ever thanks the engineers. To our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out, greensacks.ie. This has been The Sod Show. Talk to you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.